Historian of thought Joseph Spengler referred to Richard Cantillon as the first of the moderns. Let's take a look at why that might be true. Cantillon, by the way, was born in Ireland, probably in the 1680s. He moved to France and spent a good deal of his life there. He worked very successfully as a banker, and he died in 1734. Cantillon's major work in English is called Essay on the Nature of Commerce in General, but it was written in French. It was published only in 1755, in part due to reasons of fear of censorship. By the way, there's a quite spectacular rumor about Cantillon. The claim is that he was possibly murdered by his servant, that the servant perhaps burned down the house, and Cantillon was in the house at the time, and that's how Cantillon met his untimely end. Personally, I've always been skeptical of this story, but you do find it there in the literature. So what's striking in the writings of Cantillon? What I find so noteworthy is his stress on the idea of the entrepreneur and entrepreneurship. Cantillon views entrepreneurs as drivers of economic activity, as risk bearers, and as individuals who earn profit for taking on this risk. Entrepreneurs are innovators, traders, and merchants, but they're really at the center of his vision of the economic cosmos. Cantillon also was important as a monetary theorist. He stressed what we now call the non-neutrality of money, or sometimes Cantillon effects. That's the notion that new gold, silver, or money, when it enters an economy, enters at specific places through specific individual portfolios, and it impacts some individual sectors more than others. Prices do not rise evenly, but rather the new money entering the economy has effects on relative prices and the allocation of resources and also perhaps interest rates. In this regard, Cantillon was an important predecessor of Henry Thornton, Knut Wicksell, and later the Austrian economists. Still, what I find most important and most striking about Cantillon is not his treatment of any individual issue, but his general method of how he thinks like an economist. So Cantillon quite regularly understands the idea of a ceteris paribus thought experiment, where you keep some features of an economic problem constant, and you let other features of an economic problem vary. This, of course, is very much a stock and trade of modern economics. When Cantillon is writing, you have the sense that he's pretty much always using just a very basic cause and effect method to try to explain economic phenomena. And this may sound somewhat trivial or obvious, but the mercantilists before Cantillon tended quite often to blather about a lot of issues, and then they would at times say something insightful, but they don't have that really quite consistent and thoughtful application of here are the causes, here are the effects, here are the mechanisms I'm going to cite, and here's what's held constant and here's what's varying. That was really a very big advance in Cantillon, and it's probably his single most important claim to fame. It's why we can in some ways think of him as the first modern economist. In Cantillon's essay, you'll also find detailed descriptions and analyses of banking, interest, land, and labor. Some of these haven't held up that well. I'm not sure they're his most important contributions. But again, what's striking here is just the clarity of method which he brings to these areas. Cantillon really did pave the way for what was to later become classical economics. He was a big influence on Adam Smith, on Turgot, on Canet and the French physiocrats, and also on Jean-Baptiste Say. Cantillon online is pretty simple. Just Google Richard Cantillon, and you'll get to his essay, and you'll also get to a lot of good articles on Cantillon. One I would recommend in particular is the aforementioned piece by Joseph Spengler in two parts. That's where he presents the idea of Cantillon as the first of the moderns.